happening to it, such as being buried in the sand and having eggs laid in it, and its dying rays chanced to shine in through a window in the city of Ankh-Morpork and gleam off a mirror. It was a full-length mirror. All assassins had a full-length mirror in their rooms, because it would be a terrible insult to anyone to kill them when you were badly dressed. Tepic examined himself critically. The outfit had cost him his last penny, and was heavy on the black silk. It whispered as he moved. It was pretty good. At least the headache was going. It had nearly crippled him all day. He'd been in dread of having to start the run with purple spots in front of his eyes. He sighed and opened the black box and took out his rings and slipped them on. Another box held a set of knives of Clachian steel, their blades darkened with lamp black. Various cunning and intricate devices were taken from velvet bags and dropped into pockets. A couple of long-bladed throwing tlingas were slipped into their sheaths inside his boots. A thin silk line and folding grapnel were wound around his waist over the chainmail shirt. A blowpipe was attached to its leather thong and dropped down his back under his cloak. Tepic pocketed a slim tin container with an assortment of darts, their tips corked and their stems braille-coded for ease of selection in the dark. He winced, checked the blade of his rapier and slung the baldric over his right shoulder to balance the bag of lead slingshot ammunition. As an afterthought, he opened his sock drawer and took a pistol crossbow, a flask of oil, a roll of lock picks, and after some consideration, a punch dagger, a bag of assorted caltraps, and a set of brass knuckles. Tepic picked up his hat and checked its lining for the coil of cheese wire. He placed it on his head at a jaunty angle, took a last satisfied look at himself in the mirror, turned on his heel, and very slowly fell over. It was high summer in Ankh-Morpork. In fact, it was more than high, it was stinking. The great river was reduced to a lava-like ooze between Ankh, the city with the better address, and Morpork on the opposite bank. Morpork was not a good address. Morpork was twinned with a tar pit. There was not a lot that could be done to make Morpork a worse place. A direct hit by a meteorite, for example, would count as gentrification. Most of the riverbed was a honeycomb crust of cracked mud. Currently, the sun appeared to be a big copper gong nailed to the sky. The heat that had dried up the river fried the city by day and baked it by night, curling ancient timbers, turning the traditional slurry of the streets into a drifting, choking ochre dust. It wasn't Ankh-Morpork's proper weather. It was, by inclination, a city of mists and drips, of slithers and chills. It sat panting on the crisping plains like a toad on a firebrick. And even now, around midnight, the heat was stifling, wrapping the streets like scorched velvet, searing the air and squeezing all the breath out of it. High in the north face of the Assassin's Guild House, there was a click as a window was pushed open. Tepic, who had with considerable reluctance divested himself of some of the heavier of his weapons, took a deep draught of the hot, dead air. This was it. This was the night. They said you had one chance in two, unless you drew old Merisette as examiner, in which case you might as well cut your throat right at the start. Tepic had Merisette for strategy and poison theory every Thursday afternoon, and didn't get along with him. The dormitories buzzed with rumours about Merisette, the number of kills, the astonishing technique. He'd broken all the records in his time. They said he'd even killed the Patrician of Ankh-Morpork. Not the present one, that is. One of the dead ones. Maybe it would be Nivor, who was fat and jolly and liked his food, and did traps and deadfalls on Tuesdays. Tepic was good at traps and got on well with the master. Or it could be the Comte de Yo-Yo, who did modern languages and music. Tepic was gifted at neither, but the Comte was a keen edificier and liked boys who shared his love of dangling by one hand high above the city streets. He stuck one leg over the sill and unhitched his line and grapnel. He hooked the gutter two floors up and slipped out of the window. No assassin ever used the stairs. In order to establish continuity with later events, this may be the time to point out that the greatest mathematician in the history of the Discworld was lying down and peacefully eating his supper. It is interesting to note that, owing to this mathematician's particular species, what he was eating for his supper was his lunch. Gongs around the Ankh-Morpork sprawl were announcing midnight when Tepic crept along the ornate parapet 4 stories above Filigree Street, his heart pounding.